Praise God from whom all blessings flow. How you doing? It's like a homecoming for me.
Amen.
I'm seeing folks. Hey, man, good to see you. I didn't, you know, they say hair don't, you know, grass don't grow on a busy street, so I done lost all mine. Just can't stop thinking, you know. But I'm so happy to be here on the invitation of your pastor and the First Lady. And tonight, I just wanted to just start off just so I can just feel what God is doing in this place this week, amen. We've come to have revival.
Yes.
And so I just want to know how many of you, oh, how I love Jesus. Can we do that? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. Can I do that again? I want to do that again. Is that all right? Will y'all help me? I said, oh, come on, church. How I love Jesus. Oh, how? Oh, how I love Jesus. How I love Jesus because he first loved me. Can we just do this right here? Come on. I want somebody to say, would you just do this? Come on. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus. Jesus. Blessed. Blessed Savior. He's worthy. You're worthy to be. Come on, let's do it again. Everybody say praise. Praise him. Come on. Praise him. Go ahead. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus. Jesus. Blessed. Blessed Savior. He's what? He's worthy to be. From the rising of the sun. Come on. From the
rising of the sun.
I hear you. I hear you. From the going down. From the going down of the saint, he's worthy. Jesus is worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Yeah. Praise him, my God. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Jesus. Jesus. I said Jesus. Come on. Jesus. My God. Come on one more time. One more time. Jesus. One more time. I'm sorry. Jesus. Jesus. Blessed. Blessed Savior. You're worthy to be praised. Come on and give God some praise.
once thought things were valuable, and now I consider them worthless. Because of what Christ has done, yes, everything else is worthless. Jesus Christ, my Lord, has done a wonderful thing in my life. Has he done anything wonderful in your life? Have you met him? Do you know him? We're living in a time now, ladies and gentlemen, where if you listen carefully, people are giving you a lot of information. But there's very few people who are talking about a life given to Jesus. You're getting good history, but you're not getting history. You're getting good documents, but you're not getting his word. You're hearing about his word, but you're not hearing a word from him. We live in a time now, and the Bible said it was going to be that way. But people were not, they would not take heed to sound doctrine. But they would heap to themselves people, teachers. And some version says legends. Always want to hear someone to take the word, digest it, and serve it to you. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is doing the same thing today that he did yesterday. That he did when he was on earth. He's doing the same thing today. He's moving in the lives of people. He is still healing today. In the same way he healed when he was on earth. But we're looking for healing in a different manner. But you have to know how he healed. Amen. When he was on earth, he did not call men and to himself, but he called them to him as a savior, not as a dazzling healer, but not as some great preacher. He called them to himself because his message and his message and his method on earth was to save mankind. God sent his son, not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Somebody ought to talk more about Jesus today. Somebody ought to testify that he brought me through. He turned me around. He put my feet on solid ground. Somebody ought to talk about how sweet he is. That song, "He's Sweet, I Know." But strong winds may blow. Storm clouds may come. And strong winds may blow. But I'll tell the world wherever I go, I found a Savior. And he's sweet. I know. We need more church services. Where you're coming in there looking for Jesus. Hungry to hear a word from Jesus. Hungry just to touch me, Jesus. Can I just touch the hem of his garment today in church? Can I just hear a word from him today? Can I get energized today by him? We are living in a time, if you listen carefully, no one's talking about him. Tonight, I've come for this next few days to lift him up. Now, how many of you here tonight know him? If you know him, I want you to stand to your feet. If you know him. Now, if it's hard for you to stand to your feet, we all right. Just raise your hand. Listen to me carefully. We've entered into this sanctuary to meet with God. I'm not going to dazzle you, but I guarantee you, I'm going to show you him. Amen. Now, how many of you say, I've heard the voice of God, but I have not accepted him. Raise your hand. You have not accepted him. So everyone in this room have met him and have accepted him. Am I right? So that means we're going to have a lockdown in this place. That means that Jesus is going to come in here because he loves to talk with his people. Am I right? Amen. How many of you are so conservative, you forgot what happened on Pentecost? Amen. 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 What happened on Pentecost? The Holy Ghost came. But first of all, they were on one accord. Amen. Then the Holy Ghost came down in the form of fire. Somebody said dove. Fire. What happened to the room? Men who could not speak certain languages spoke languages. And we often argue on that day about the tongues that they spoke. There's arguments on what type of tongues. Was it African? Some said was it a mysterious tongue, an unknown tongue? What kind of tongue was it? Everybody's arguing over the tongues. But you know, no one asked the question.
Yes.
What were they saying? Hallelujah. And this is what the Bible says. The people said, we hear these men speak in our own language the wonderful works of God. So what they were saying on that day was the wonderful works of God. It wasn't how they were saying it and what language they were using. It was the wonderful works of God. And God gave that to them so that everyone in the room, everyone there, would understand that something unusual is happening in this place. And that unusual thing that happened in that place that day was the Holy Ghost came down on unlearned men. Do you know Peter could not read or write? He was very illiterate at the time. But the Holy Ghost fell upon that brother. And he began to speak in other languages. Ladies and gentlemen, don't be afraid, because Pentecost would have to be repeated. The latter rain is coming back again. And the God's going to pour out his spirit upon his church. But it's going to be upon those who are connected with Jesus. Those who are not afraid to stand for their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those are the ones going to get it. And every time we meet in a place like this, maybe, just maybe, somebody will get the Holy Ghost. Just maybe. I'm going to be teaching. But if you want him to teach you,
yes.
So you won't be saying, I don't like the way he said that, or I don't like this. If you want this, if you want to get rid of that, let us all lift up our hands to heaven. Lift up your eyes to heaven.
Yes.
And just ask, Lord, send your spirit into my heart.
Send your spirit.
Deliver me from what I'm incarcerated in. And bless this sanctuary with your presence.
Bless this sanctuary with your presence.
Give us the Holy Ghost, Lord.
Give us the Holy Ghost.
In the name of Jesus, we pray.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
When we accept Christ, there are three basic things. Number one, that God promises when you accept him. Number one is to be born again. Somebody will say amen.
Amen.
Number two is to renew your mind.
Yes.
And number three is to become a new creature.
Amen.
Amen. Those are promises from God.
Yes.
And as sure as the sun came up this morning, those promises are real. You are not going to make it to heaven without a born-again experience with God. Now, you're saying amen, but I hope you understand what I'm talking about. Three, mental, we're physical, and we're spiritual. This week, we will cover those three areas on how Jesus deals with our minds, with our bodies, and with our spirit. And how when you accept him, that's what's happening. A revival is not a revival because I got the definition of a revival. A reformation will never be a reformation because I understand what could constitute a reformation. A revival is when God has revived you. A reformation is when Jesus had come in to reform you. Your life was to change. That's a reformation. So we can study about these things, but we must experience these things. We must know that he's real. We must have a revival in our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to begin in the Bible, and I'm going to put it on the screen so you all can read. And I'm telling you the reason why I'm doing this. The reason why I'm doing this is because the Bible says in Isaiah, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. How do you seek the Lord? There's only two ways to seek God. One is prayer. That's dialoguing with God. And two is reading his word. You'll get the mind of God when you start reading his word. You don't get deceived, because I remember one time I got deceived. On the mind, on hearing God. I got deceived one time. I used to listen to Alexander Scorby read the Bible. Watch this. I listened to him read the Bible. You know that big voice. He was an actor, really. And he read the Bible. I used to love that. Then I started hearing other people read the Bible. And I thought it didn't come from God, because I got caught on Alexander Scorby. Scorby, am I right? Now, what happens today is people are listening to preachers preach, and they're not listening to, they're not hearing the voice of God. They're running to the church. They're running to entertainment centers called churches, and they're listening to that, but they're not hearing God. Amen. So a man can put whatever he wants to in there. As long as I'm following him, I'm thinking that he's telling me the truth. But ladies and gentlemen, you've got to read. Read the Bible for yourself. Don't study the Bible to prove your church, but read the Bible to hear the voice of God. So when you hear the voice of God, you will know it comes to your conscience. And God, as you read, God will talk to you. So that tonight, I said, I'm going to have the people to read. You know, in the early church, right after Pentecost, you know how the church services were? They all gathered together. The poor needed help, needed food, needed money. They shared with the poor. They broke bread. They did that in the church. But not only that, someone would read. Read from the word of God. And if someone had a prophecy, or if God has spoken to them, someone would stand up and say, the Lord has instructed me to say this. And they would say it to the people. Today, people don't read. They come to the church every week. I'm talking about main Christianity. Come to church every week and expect for the preacher to preach, and then the preacher expect for them to listen to what he has to say, and then they go home. But ladies and gentlemen, when you get together and you start reading the word of God, I'm not talking about something I heard. I'm talking about something I know. The pastor actually can tell you, I have been reading with pastors and other people early in the morning. This is what I tell them. I said, they're going through some things. I said, let's do this. Let's, every morning, you call me up, and we're going to read. We're going to pray, and we're going to read. Boy, you talk about shouting on the telephone. But I tell them, I said, we're having worship every morning. That's all we're doing. I'm not going to tell you what this means. You're going to see it. Then that brings me to another testimony. I'm always giving testimony. But that brings me to another testimony. My sister-in-law called me up first of this year, and says she's going through some things. And she said she keeps going to her church, and it was another denomination. She's going to that church, and she says, I'm just having some problems. She said, everybody's talking about God is speaking to them. She said, but God has not spoken to me. She said, I've never heard God speak. And she said, I feel embarrassed now. I want to hear the voice of God. And so when she was talking, I said, my sister, I said, why don't we just read together? I said, when you start reading, you'll hear God speak to you through his word. And then you'll recognize his voice. So we started reading. Oh, hallelujah. We read every morning. And I was only going to do it for about 2 weeks to get her started, I thought. In the end of the 2 weeks, she said, no, I want to do this. And we kept doing it. Month. It ended up 6 months. We're reading every morning. One day, after 2 months of the reading, she called me up. And she said, God spoke to me today. I said, what? She said, God spoke to me today. I said, what did he say? Y'all don't mind me running around? As old as I am, I'm still running around like I'm a kid. You know, but he said, I don't mind. She said, I don't mind. She said, God speaks to me. Spoke to me. What did he say? You know what he told her? Keep it holy. Y'all didn't hear me. Said, keep it holy. You know why she wanted me to read to her? You know why she called me up? Because a year and a half before then, I arrived in South Bend, Indiana. I was at camp meeting for the Lake Region. I was on my way up to camp meeting in Michigan. And I stopped at their house. I walked in the house that morning. Their daughter, upstairs, her baby, had just died. I was there. The family walked in, they just discovered the baby dead. I walked in, and the Lord told me, I'm talking Pentecost. He told me, he says, you should bring light to this house. And on that day, I prayed for them, for her daughter who lost the baby, and we laid hands on her, we prayed, and I told them that day, light has come to your house. But I didn't know until about a year or two later is when I started reading with the mother, with my sister-in-law. Her daughter is now in jail. I have been sending Bible texts, everything to her. The same daughter who lost that baby, God sent me in that house at that time. Now she's given herself over to God. She's in jail. She'll be getting out in the next month. And God has sent it. And guess what? My brother and my sister-in-law and the family all got baptized. I never went anywhere with them. I never did anything. We just read the word. Amen. Just read the word. So tonight, I'm talking about Christ's mind in you. You must have Christ in you to have Christ's mind in you. Amen. This is not an educational, this is not a seminar on education. You've got to experience God in order to have Christ's mind in you. Now let's turn, put it on the screen there, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. She's going to start off reading. Now watch this. All of you said that you know God, right? Am I right? Now, if you lie, that's not on me. You know, you say you know God, you met God, right? Anybody lying in here? You know? Nah. If you just want to be honest, I don't know him. I just don't know him. Instead of saying, I don't know him, you know. That's fine. But this is to you. If you know him, this is to you. Yeah. And it says, if there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, that means, can I get encouraged because I belong to him? Any comfort from his love? Can I get some comfort from his love even in the midst of my pain? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in spirit? Can we all come together? And like I heard the praise team, you guys did so good. It's good to see one whole family take it over to church. But seriously. God has blessed this church. Ladies and gentlemen, a good church is a church that has families. good churches that raise their children. That's well, anyway, that's another subject. But listen, it says, any fellowship together in the Spirit, are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then he says, make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. Now, that's what brings on the Holy Ghost. That's what brings on Pentecost. When you start coming together on one accord, when you start doing this, that's what brings on the Holy Ghost. It does not bring on the Holy Ghost talking about someone and saying they make me sick. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything. Watch this. It says, loving one another and working together with what? One mind and one purpose. Hallelujah. Christ's mind in you is what I'm talking about. One mind. Loving one another. It said, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress who? Others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourself. That's what brings on Holy Ghost. We all said we love the Lord. We can't get along. Something's wrong. Holy Ghost can't fall into a congregation where we said we all love the Lord, but we can't get along. It says, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. The King James said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And it says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Though I'm an elder and a deacon and I'm in the church and I sing and I do it, I don't think myself better than anybody in the church. You hear me now? I'm the pastor of the church. I don't think anyone better than myself. He said, instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, hallelujah, God became a man. God put on flesh. God came down, and because God came down in flesh, because God lived in flesh, because God walked in the flesh, because God was here, you and I today can have victory over anything we face, because the same God that was in Christ Jesus is in us today. The Bible said he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Hallelujah. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. Oh, hallelujah. What is that name?
Jesus.
No, I didn't hear you say that. What is that name?
Jesus.
No, you got to say that better. You black folks who came out of slavery and God brought you out, you got to talk about Jesus. Am I right? Amen. Well, everybody's here not black, but you know what I'm talking about. You can call on the name of Jesus. We still ought to call on him. When we come to church, we ought to meet with him. Amen? And meet with him in us. Amen? Because God does not dwell in buildings with sticking stones. He now dwells in bodies of flesh and bones. Amen? So we don't come here to meet with God in the sanctuary. God should already be in us. If he's not in us, then you come and meet God in Michael Ashley, or an organist over there. You meet God in someone else if he's not in you. But if he's in you, you come here. And if we have the same spirit on one accord, something ought to take place. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That at the name of
Jesus.
Now, y'all can say that better than that. Let's say Jesus together. At the name of
Jesus.
That's right. Every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. He's the baddest thing in the universe. And I don't care who's standing against it. One day, all the demons are going to bow down before him. One day, because all life comes from him. Everything comes from him. One day, everybody's going to say, yes, sir, you Lord. You the baddest. You the greatest. Amen. Muhammad Ali said once, he said, God put this affliction on me to show me that I'm not the greatest he is. Hallelujah. 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 And so I'm saying now, you can be all great in football, basketball, singing, and money, and everything else, but you can't get greater than Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, you're not going to make it. If you don't have Jesus, you can't be saved, because there's no name. No name under the heaven. No name. That name is called Jesus. no name. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of his Father. Lord to the glory of his Father. So if I'm a Christian today, I give glory to God. I give glory to his name. I call on him. I said, nobody like you, Jesus. Nobody like you, Jesus. Oh, he don't have to do anything for me. I just know him. Amen. Amen. I talk about what he's done for me, but I tell you, it's more than that is I see him. I felt him. I tasted on him. David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Not just for a new car or a house or a house. No, because he's just good. Amen. And when he comes in, he's good. He's good all the time. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And then he goes back and gives a counsel. Dear friends, you always follow my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. What is the result of your salvation? Obeying God. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Ladies and gentlemen, we teach in our church here that obedience is the key to life. It really, truly is. Yes. But it's not just because I've read something and I'm obeying what I've read. Yes. It's because God is speaking to me and I'm obeying what his voice said. Amen. You hear me? Amen. For God, watch this, is working in you, giving you the desire.
Yes, sir.
The desire.
Yes, sir.
And the power to do what pleases him. What is that word power? You know what that means? That power is the power of God. And the power of God is always the Holy Ghost. It's always the Holy Ghost. You don't believe me, do you? It's always the power of God is always the Holy Ghost. When the earth was without form and void, what happened? The Holy Ghost moved upon the face of it. Am I right? On the day of Pentecost, when the church was started, what happened? Holy Ghost came down upon them. Am I right? It's always the Holy Ghost. You know, Samson was strong. Samson wasn't big like you, my brother with the big arms and everything. He wasn't big like you. Samson. I used to watch them old movies. Michael Ashley used to watch these old movies. Hercules Unchained and all that stuff like that. They had all these guys with muscles. And when he showed Samson, I seen a black Samson. He was just cut, you know, everything. Samson, it wasn't his muscles. The Bible said every time Samson did something, the Holy Ghost came on him. Amen. It was the power of God. Am I right? Amen. So it's not what we're doing. It's what God is doing upon us, in us, through us, and with us. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost. And this is what it said. Do everything without complaining and arguing. So that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God. Shine like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Stop worrying about what I'm telling you. Some of you don't kill yourselves in your mind. Listen to what they talk about Obama. You get mad. You're going back and then hating Fox Station because they said, some of you going to kill yourself doing that. Take your mind off of those things. That negative thinking will mess your mind up. I don't care what you say. We're glad Obama's in there. We pray for Obama to be in there. But God got all this stuff in his hands. Amen? It was God who put him there. Well, I'm going to start politicking now. It was God who put him there. Because we never would have gotten there if somebody had to use it. All right, let me tell you my other thing here. Let me tell you my other thing. In 1906, a man came down from Canada, a Seventh-day Adventist missionary. He went to Kenya, and there in Kenya, he set up a school. He started teaching the kids there in the school in Kenya. Because the Adventist church is always known for their education. We're the first Bible preacher teachers. We're getting away from that now. We want to hoop now. But we've always been teaching. Creflo Dollar and all those guys are doing that now. They're teaching. What's his name? Down in, not yeah, Jake's, but I'm talking about the other guy. In L.A. Yeah, Crenshaw, Fred Price. You know, they were teaching. But that's what we used to do 50 to 60 years ago. Our preachers, when they ran things, they taught people from the Word. They stayed with the Word. They were preacher-teachers. That's what I'm trying to do. It's preacher-teacher. And they were teaching the people. Because why? Because when the Word gets into your mind, it'll change your mind. It'll renew your mind. But you got to understand what it says. A hoop ain't going to get nothing in my, ain't going to change anything in my mind. Except I just want to run and hear another hoop. Amen. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Or snort. I used to always sit up in church and I hear the preachers preaching. I'm telling you, it came from some bad preachers. They could preach the paint off the wall. These guys could preach. And I get him. And boy, every week I wanted to give myself to God. And every Sunday morning, I just come down the front and I just lay myself down there. And I'm smelling like alcohol and reefer and everything else. But I was hoping God would break it through because the man just painted it so well. But nothing was happening. I was not changing. I didn't realize that I was caught up on the hoop. It was like me watching Kobe in a game. The game was good, but when the game was over with, I left with nothing. Kobe left with a lot of money and some trophies and everything. I left with nothing. I had nothing left. Amen. Amen. And so what? So what God was doing? Was, and I said, Lord, I gotta change. And I cried day and night. I begged Him. I would come to the church at night when it was dark, and I get on my knees. And I said, Lord, please, I gotta see You. I said, I'm going with women in this church, women in Gary, Indiana, women in Indianapolis, and women in Chicago, and women in Detroit. And I said, I'm tired of all of this. I want You, Lord. I want You to give me some, do something. I just begged. And I go back to the church, and they get it all going again, and I feel good. And I come down the aisle, so I'm giving myself to Jesus today. And I'm going to stop drinking today. I'm going to stop smoking today. I'm going to stop using drugs today. I'm going to do it because the pastor, he preached so well. But nothing happened. I was not changing. Then a little man came in the neighborhood, started giving me Bible studies, just reading the Word of God. When he started reading the Word of God, guess what? I stopped smoking.
Yes.
Didn't go anywhere. I got off of drugs. Because
yes.
You guys know I've OD'd 3 or 4 times in drugs. I got off of drinking.
Yes.
All of it was done. Because my mind was being renewed. You know what I'm saying? My mind was being renewed. Christ was in me. It's Christ in me that makes my mind different. It's not me studying Christ and knowing about Christ. It's Christ in me that's changing my mind. It's Christ that's doing it. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know God does not change your culture? He does not change your culture. You black, you sing that way, he does not change your culture. What God does is He changes your character. And when your character is changed, the drugs got to go. When your character is changed, the smoke got to leave. When the character is changed, the mind becomes brand new. The brain does not send signals down anymore. So I need this. The body doesn't crave anymore. Because when Christ comes in, He changes the mind, the body, and also your spirit. When He comes in, he's a threefold God for a threefold man. He has threefold power in us to change us in His image. Hallelujah. I'm not what I used to be. I don't think what I used to think. It's the old thoughts where I used to run the streets. And you used to hear me sing them old songs and everything because they were still in my mind. Those songs are gone now, except for a few. But they're gone. My mind has been changed. My mind, oh hallelujah, my mind has been changed. It's brand new, and I got to shout and tell somebody if I'm going to die, I got to go back to my brothers in the streets. That's why I'm a different kind of guy. They got me up as regional director, but I'm still hanging around with the guys that I know that need the help. Black men who need somebody who can understand what they're going through and come back and say, hey man, God can deliver you. God can change your mind. When He changes your mind, He changes your life. I'm still black. I still like black music. But I don't smoke dope anymore. I don't steal other people's women anymore. Amen. You know, I'm a good father to my children here. Amen. Amen. And I want to go back and tell somebody. Tell somebody that God is good. Tell somebody that He's sweet. Tell somebody He's sweet, I know. Gotta tell somebody. I want you to, let's go to our next verse here. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. This is what the Bible says. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. You guys, I'm reading from the NLT, the New Living Translation. And I thank the young lady up there who's doing this for me. Amen. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Don't let, but let what? Let what? God. Let who? Let God train, transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Hallelujah. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. Hallelujah. Which is good and pleasing and perfect. Hallelujah. You will know it. Your mind will be changed. I can't tell you how I changed my mind. I did not do any kind of psychological test in classes to change my mind. But he did it. I don't think the way I used to think because I had a change in him. Amen. Let's move to the next verse. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plan I have for you. King James says, I know the thoughts I have for you, said the Lord. They are plans or thoughts for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. That's the way God thinks. If God thinks that way and you have God in your mind, then you will think like God. You may not be perfect in it, but you think like Him. When your sisters, your brothers, your family members, you will think good for them. Yeah. You'll pray for them. Yeah. I don't care how bad off you may consider them to be. If you start thinking about God, you're thinking about them being saved. Yeah. You're thinking about God. Yeah. Next verse. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He's done. Hallelujah. That'll straighten your mind up. Boy. Amen. You won't be worried. You're thinking to God. Then you experience what? God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live, as you live, as you live, as you live in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It will guard your mind. Oh, then it says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, Philippians 4:8. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, and pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise.
Yes.
I struggle with thoughts in my mind of my own personal weakness. My dad used to always tell me, boy, you'll never be anything. And he used to always say, he thought he was using reverse psychology, but it was killing me. And I found out that when somebody criticizes you, a lot of times it's their own pain. They're hoping that if they tell you that, you'll get aggressive and go and do something better. But every time you criticize someone, you're hurting yourself more than them. Because what's going through your mind sticks in there and affects your character. And so he did that. And it just made me feel just bad all the time. And so now those thoughts try to come up now.
Yes.
When I get around people who I feel that I'm not worthy to be around. Y'all don't understand what I mean, but I would do that sometimes. I didn't come from a logical background, a wholesome background. I came from a kind of a divided background. My mother was into the Lord, loved the Lord. My dad, on the other hand, you know, ran the streets and did everything he could do wrong. They stayed together. Stayed together until they both died. But I saw, I keep seeing sometimes images of him come up in my mind, and I start crying, saying, Lord, don't let this happen. Don't let this happen to me. You know, don't let me think this way. And the angels come. And with their wings, they buff the power that's come in my mind. And I feel revived. And I say, I got to go. I got to tell the story. Of Jesus. Timothy 1. This is my text to verify what I'm saying. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and the other version said, sound mind. Amen. Amen. So what does that mean? Pastor, what does that mean? What does that mean, doctor? What does that mean? What does that mean, brother? It means that Christ is in you. That spirit that's in you is not, when you're full of fear and timidity, that is not God's spirit. You need to understand he's not there. So you need to run back to Jesus. Run back to God. Say, give me your spirit, God. Lift me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Get me out of this, Lord. Because God did not give you a spirit of fear and timidity. When you have that, that's not God. Power of his spirit. He gave us power. Power means to do those things we normally cannot do. That's power. Love. To able to love those who don't love us. To love those who go against us. And sound mind is not let anybody shake you from Jesus. Keep your mind stayed on Christ. Keep your mind stayed on him. God has called us to be his children. Now, every night, you'll be out of here at 8:30. Promise that. Every night. All I'm going to do is just revive what's already in you. Amen. I'm just going to talk to what's already there. We are sisters and brothers. You know God used the Bible in the Bible as family language. This stuff we got in church is called presidents and vice presidents. Nowhere in the Bible at all, period. All it does is just make people want to be a president. Want to be a vice president. That's all it does. Works on the ego of people. In the Bible, the pastors were not considered high above the people, but like Jesus. They mingled among the people. They were servants to the people. And they loved the people. Amen. That's what I can appreciate about your pastor and his wife. You're going to get some love. And you'll get people attracted to this church because of the way that couple works. And God is already bringing some people back home already, I heard. You know, some people coming back home. Amen. Take your mind and put Christ in your mind to change your mind. Don't you want to be with him? Is anybody here tonight just want to say, Lord, I want you to change my mind? Yes. I want you, Lord. Now watch this. He's been working with you all along. Just sometime you let go of him. And all that fear and timidity comes into you because you don't know the difference. You don't even know when he's gone. Yes. You let go of him. But when you let go back. When you let go, call on him. Yes. Because when God comes in, he changes your mind. He heals your body. Yes. And he heals your spirit. Yes. I'll talk about the body tomorrow night. But he does it. Yes. He really does do it. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. And he changes all of that into a character that's like his. Because when he comes back again, this body is not going anywhere. This body is destined to just fall apart here on this earth. If I don't die before he gets back, hallelujah. I'm going to die one way or another. This body is not going to heaven. Oh, I have to read that to you tomorrow. The Bible says, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Am I right? Got to have a new body. Talk about that tomorrow night. But God, I've come here to energize you. To encourage you. Yes. If there's any encouragement in Christ. Any comfort in his love. I've come to let you know. He's the baddest thing in the world.
Yes, he is.
Nobody like Jesus.
Nobody.
Boy, just wait till he whipped the devil in the lake of fire. Boy, we all be standing behind those walls watching that.
Hallelujah.
Watch it when he whips it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Boy, he's gonna tear that rascal up. Hallelujah. Fire's gonna come down from heaven. Oh yeah. And that rascal who have done so many things to my brothers, my sisters, yes, and all of us, that rascal's gonna burn.
Yes.
It's gonna be, the Bible says it's gonna be called an internal, eternal destruction. That means the fire that comes out cannot be quenched. That means can't nobody put it out until it does what it has to do. Amen. That's exactly what it means. It's coming back. And I want to be ready. Come on, man.
Some folks would rather every day my choice. I know the road is rough and the going sure gets tough and the hills are hard to climb. I started out such a long time ago, but there is no doubt in my mind that I've decided I want to make Jesus every day my choice. Can I do one more verse? You know that these clothes may be ragged that I'm wearing, and heavy is the load that I'm bearing. I know that Jesus is the one that I choose. If you know the course, come on and let's do it together. I know the road is rough. Come on. And the going is tough. And the hills are hard to climb. I started out such a long time ago, but there is no doubt where in my mind I've decided,
yes,
to make Jesus every day my choice. Yeah, I know the road is rough. Come on. And the going sure gets tough, and the hills are hard to climb. I started out such a long time ago, but there is no doubt in my mind I've decided to make Jesus, oh yes, my choice.
And may we be someone here tonight.
And the going
show. I'm going to do this every night. I'm going to warn you right now.
And the hills
God has spoken to your heart. And you want me to pray for you. I just want you to stand to your feet.
I stand.
And I pray for you tonight as we close out.
Such a
God has spoken to you. Come on down, brother. If you want to come on down,
Jesus. Oh, yes, my choice.
If anybody else want to come down, you can come down too. Come on down.
Oh. I know the road is rough, and the going show gets tough, and the hills are.
Do you know?
Hard to climb.
That one day,
I started.
All of this is going to burn up.
Such a long time ago.
Do you know? If Jesus doesn't come soon,
doubt
we're all going to go back to dust. You've got one shot, one choice, one shot at it.
To make Jesus.
And now is that time. Anyone else want to pray? To stand up and I'll pray for all of
us.
Let's pray right now in the name of Jesus. Father in heaven, I stand here today as tonight as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've spoken to what to them what you've told me to say, Lord. And I know it's the truth, Father. And I know that it will change somebody. Somebody here tonight have made up their mind. Have made up their mind they're going to let Jesus do more in their life. Now, if they made that decision, Father, I pray that you speak to their hearts right now. Touch them right now. Let them know that you're God right now. Comfort them. Strengthen them. Give them joy in their heart. Give them peace in their heart. Let them know that you've come here tonight. And you've spoken to us tonight. In the name of Jesus, bless what is in the hearts of your people. Bless what's on the minds of your people. Bless what they're asking for tonight. Answer their prayers. Turn them around. Make them brand new, Father. This is my prayer tonight. Somebody has drifted away. And you don't even know that the Spirit has kind of left you alone. I want you tonight to reach out in your heart and talk to God tonight. Say, Lord, help me, Lord. I know I've done this. But God hasn't left you. God won't leave you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is the very fact you got the desire to come back to him is God who's given you that desire. So come on tonight. Don't be shy tonight. Talk to God tonight. Lay it out to God tonight. Let him know you're not going to heaven with us as a group. You're going to heaven all by yourself. Amen. God is not going to take us all holding hands. He's going to take us one by one out of the grave up into the sky, one by one. So tonight it doesn't matter what I think, what anybody else think. It's what you and God, the conversation you have with you and God tonight that makes the difference. So now, Lord, speak to their hearts. Now, Lord, bless them, Lord, and give someone a deliverance. Someone has been praying here tonight. Give them a deliverance. Let them know that you're in their house tonight. Bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let everyone say amen. Amen. God bless you.
I've decided to make Jesus every day my choice. Come on, church, let's do that chorus just one more time. I know the road is rough. And what? And the going show gets tough. And the hills are hard to climb. I started out such a long time ago, but there is no doubt in my mind that I've decided to make Jesus every day my joy. Whoa, I've decided to make Jesus every day my choice.
Amen. Boy, I was blessed tonight. Were you?